Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program, use it for your glory here this evening. Help us to be a blessing to somebody tonight. And we just thank you again for all you've done for us. And we just praise you and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And another slow week, I guess, in terms of the news and everything, but we'll talk and touch on some things that have happened, but also touch on some things out of the Word of God here this evening. Like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we invite you to give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And you can also go online and find us at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we'd love to have you hear from you tonight and have you check us out online. Go online to livewithpastoral.com. There's links to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. You can find out more about us, find out more about our church, and also more about the radio program. There's also some links to some of our social media platforms, and more than just Facebook. We've got several platforms that we're on, and I've got them listed there. In addition to Facebook, there's Gab and MeWe and USA.life and Parler and a number of things on there. And so check some of those out because certainly with the censorship in all that you face on places like Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, some of these other places are the only place you can get some of these things, like MeWe, for instance, or Gab or USA.life. Any of these, they're ones where they'll publish stuff that basically Facebook doesn't want you to see it. It's not necessarily that the information is incorrect. It's not necessarily that the information that's presented is promoting bad behavior or anything. It's just that the people in charge at Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and some of these sites like that have decided there's certain things they don't want you to know about. They just don't want you to have that information. And so they will just censor it. Or they will do a soft censor of putting a thing on there, a warning thing on there about misleading, potentially false or misleading information, something like that. They'll put that on there, all kinds of things. Or they'll just restrict how many people can see your site and see your posts. And they'll gradually restrict you down to where very few people see anything you post on them. And then if that doesn't work, then they'll put you in Facebook jail, for instance, for a while, or ban you from Twitter. You ever think it's interesting that President Trump is banned? I think he's got a lifetime ban now from Twitter. And yet the Taliban leadership is all on Twitter. In fact, they coordinated some of their stuff when they took over and captured Kabul. They were coordinating via Twitter. And yet President Donald Trump is banned from Twitter. How about that? The Taliban is acceptable on Twitter and President Trump isn't. Well, it's just what we face online. So let's check out some of these other sites. Of course, also if you go to our site live with pastoral.com, you can find some different articles and booklets and things there as well as past programs and a number of other things that you can link to and find at livewithpastoral.com. All right, we're going to get into our program here this evening. And again, our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And we got a couple callers already ready for us. I believe Nancy is first up. She called in first here this evening. So, Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Pastor.
Hi, good evening.
Thank you for coming. Good evening to you. And thank you for coming to our missions event. It was such a joy to have you. And, you know, just the whole program was such a blessing. Now, my question tonight is regarding psychology and the Bible.
All right. Give me just a moment here, Nancy. I was going to mention the program you're talking about at your church there, the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio.
Yes.
Had their annual missions banquet last night, and had the opportunity there to talk about the radio program, and also our good friend who's with the Lord, Bruce Musselman. And, of course, the church there is continuing his broadcast. I had the opportunity to help him for a number of years. You can find those online at whereisgodsword.com for him. And then, of course, Pastor Rusnacko is on the air here on AM 1220, The Word. He's on several times during the week. Generally speaking, it's one of his messages from the church. And I know one time for sure that he's on, and that's after our Friday afternoon program, because we're on every Friday afternoon live with Pastor Al every Friday, 1:30 till 2 o'clock, and then Pastor Rusnacko, his broadcast is at 2 o'clock till 2:30. And that's, of course, every Friday afternoon. So I encourage people to check that out. And you can check out Pastor Lutz, who's prior to me at 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock to 1:30. Pastor Lutz has frequently filled in for me, and I filled in for him in his program on Friday afternoons. And I was going to mention one thing, too. Again, we had a great time out at North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood on Monday when I was able to go out and teach on Baptist history. Spent a couple hours out there with the folks out there. We had a great time, and it was nice to meet people, nice to meet some of our listeners, and just had a great time out there talking about the history of the church, church history, Baptist history in particular. And so it was a great time. Then a great time, of course, at the missions banquet last night at Euclid at Bible Baptist Temple. What a great time we had. Great to hear missionaries, and of course the church, always a warm, friendly church, and always a good meal. So appreciate that. So,
thank you very much. And it was such a joy to go to your 39th anniversary for Bible Baptist Church the preceding weekend. It's been a great 2 weekends.
Yeah, it's been a busy couple of weeks. So,
yeah,
a good kind of busy.
Mm-hmm. Well, now my question today is about Christianity and psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I majored in psychology in college, and I know that this can be misconstrued by certain experts. But actually, psychology, all it is the study of the mind.
And right.
So I don't see that studying the mind is all that bad in relationship to psychology. And for the lost person, they don't understand the Bible. Some pastors will say, all you need is the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to go to a counselor, you know, because they'll mislead you. But I think it is important, in my opinion, you know, to understand, you know, to delve into the person's past and just find out why they have the beliefs that they have and try to understand them from that perspective. Now, the lost person cannot understand the Bible, so for them to just look at the Bible, it's like a lost cause. So you need more, in my opinion, than just the Bible. You need to go to, and I prefer, of course, a Christian counselor. And where I used to work, I'm not going to mention it, the nursing home, the nursing director, she favored born-again Christians. That's how I got my job, and I was there for 23 years. but she would lead the blessing in the main dining room, and she could mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then all of a sudden, when Medicare or Medicaid came in, they said she could not use the name of Jesus anymore. So she became a Christian counselor, and I talked to her, you know, after she left. She left McGregor. Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't going to tell the name. She left where I used to work, and then she became a Christian counselor. And she used the Bible, but she also used psychology. So I don't think that you should just throw out psychology, you know, studying the mind and studying the person's past altogether, you know. And then
right.
Some of these experts will say, oh, you shouldn't give them self-esteem. Well, I think it's important for the person to have a good opinion of themselves. Although, of course, you're supposed to take on Jesus's, you know, have Jesus is your, you know, what builds you up. But for a lost person, they don't understand that. So I don't think that talking about self-esteem is such a bad thing. Now, I want to know your input on all this.
Well, yeah, and again, when we're talking about this, there's a lot of things that have elements of truth in them, but then they get misapplied or taken, you know, to extremes in the wrong direction,
yes,
or something. And so we do have to beware of that. And, of course, we also understand that many of the people like Freud, for instance, and others who we consider the founders of modern psychology and all that, these were people who denied God, people who, if you really read some of their writings, actually hated God, and things of that nature. But here's the thing. You know, it's like the old expression, even a blind squirrel can find a nut every once in a while. I actually just thought about what I said. We're talking about psychology. I didn't really think of that in terms of finding a, anyway, I'll just move on. But the idea is when you look at people, whether you're saved or not, whether you believe the Bible or not, whether you believe God exists or not, when you look at people, obviously, some people are different than others. Some people have different mental traits and things like that.
Right.
We all know people, we say that, you know, it doesn't matter how good things are going, you can count on so-and-so to put a wet blanket on it and to find fault with it. And, you know, some people are just naturally pessimistic all the time.
Yes.
And then we all know people that no matter how bad things get, you say, you can always trust so-and-so will see the bright side and give us a word of encouragement because they're just naturally optimistic. And those are two, you know, ways that we can see that. There's other ways. There's some people that, man, you got to be careful around so-and-so. They're just so touchy. It just seems like anything will set them off. It's the least little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's so-and-so who, man, he's the most easy guy going person I know. Never gets flustered. No, nothing ever upsets them. They're just coasting along. And see what I'm saying? We can see people like that. And so when you describe people's personality traits, it's just like looking out in the woods and saying, well, you know, there's some trees out there whose leaves are green all the time and they're sort of needle-shaped, like the pine trees and the spruces, you know, the evergreens, the conifers. And then there's some trees out there that they have broad leaves, and they get new ones each spring, and then they drop drop them every fall. And of course, that's the heartwoods, the deciduous trees. And so what we've done there, whether we believe that God created all things or not, whether we believe God exists, we can look at trees and say, well, there's two broad categories, deciduous and evergreen. And then, you know, we can further subdivide them by various characteristics, because all we're doing is looking at characteristics. And anybody with reasonable intelligence can do that. But one of the problems that happens in psychology psychiatry is that people don't appreciate, like you said, unsaved people don't understand the Bible, but they don't appreciate that we have a sin nature. and that sin nature can cause problems. One of the first verses that came to my mind when you were talking is where Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy, in 1 Timothy, the last chapter here, chapter 6, he said here in, let's see, verse number 20 and 21, last two verses, he says, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen." So we can abuse these things, and we can write God out of the picture, and we can trust too much to profane and vain babblings. Profane is more having to do with commonly repeated things, you know, the common or the profane. And vain, of course, is things empty, things of no value. And then, of course, opposition to science falsely so-called, where people claim, well, the best scientific research says this, even though it doesn't. And then he says some professing, meaning some believers have erred concerning the faith because they follow after these things more than they do God. And, of course, primary way we follow after God is in his word. Now, it's through God's word that we can learn about the sin problem and all. And that is the biggest thing that has to be dealt with oftentimes. But here's something I've learned over the years in the ministry. And I remember in particular a woman when we were in the Samoan Islands where my wife and I were missionaries back in the 1990s. There was one woman that, you know, she was friendly, talked with us, even visited our church quite a bit, came pretty regular, but she just could not bring herself to trust Christ as her Savior. And we tried various ways, and she was actually pretty, you know, friendly towards my wife. She was a nurse. My wife was a nurse, and they hit it off, and they did, you know, a lot of talking. And we come to find out that part of the problem was that every male authority figure in her life had in some way betrayed her or left her, you know, abandoned her. And so as a consequence, you know, her father had walked out when she was young. Her first husband or her husband had left her and just different things. The male authority figures in her life were not very good. Let's put it that way. And so here we come along saying, God, our heavenly Father, loves you and wants you to be saved. And Jesus Christ became a man and dwelt. Do you see where I'm going? She's seeing God presented as a male authority figure, and it was hard for her to trust him because of the abandonment and disappointment that male authority figures. I'm thinking of somebody else that I've talked to in the past, and he had a problem where he always thought God was mad at him or trying to manipulate him because he viewed his earthly father as always being that way. And I came to a conclusion. I don't know chapter and verse where I can see this, but I came to a conclusion. I talked over with my wife, and she agreed that oftentimes we develop an opinion of God based on the relationship or lack thereof with our earthly father or earthly father figures. And as a consequence, that helps us to understand. When we realized that, it was much easier to understand why the one lady did not, you know, want to put her faith in Christ, and she didn't want to follow the gospel message, even though, you know, she understood it all. But it was the fear of being abandoned by God. And then with this other individual.
That's why I think it is important to study a person's past.
Exactly.
But, you know, some authority figures will say, no, you don't need to count. You don't need to do all that. But the lost person doesn't understand the Bible, so you have to use well, you know, common sense, in my opinion.
Right. Well, and see, here's the other thing. When you begin to find out about somebody, begin to understand what makes them tick, and the Holy Spirit begins to direct you, you begin to see better how to help that person. And yes. And even when the person does get saved, some of those issues may still remain. And so a lot of, I'm convinced a lot of ministry takes place in the local church after the services. Now, mm-hmm. your church is a church where people hang around after the service is over. But
yes,
we've all been to a church where you're there, like if you visited, you're maybe traveling or something, and you're just stopped in to visit a church, and they get to the final prayer, and you hear amen, and by the time you lift up your head, about all you can see is the dust settling and a few bulletins, you know, floating to the floor where everybody just like, whoosh, it's like a partial rapture took place, you know. They're just gone.
That's true.
And, yeah, and nobody talks to each other after the service.
Mm-hmm.
But I've watched this in our church, and I've watched this in other churches. I've seen this at your church as well, there, the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, where after church, people talk to each other. And in the course of mm-hmm. talking, several things happen. People mm-hmm. actually get good counsel from one another.
No, I think so.
Yeah,
think so.
And part of that is because people get an opportunity to talk and to get to know one another. And as you get to know one another, you start learning about people's backgrounds, and you start learning right. about their struggles and perhaps areas where they have weakness and things like that, as people begin to open up to each other. And you're better able to pray for people, and you're better able to encourage people, and you're better able to share God's word with people. And mm-hmm. and so there is quite a bit of, you know, looking at people and getting an understanding of their personality
mm-hmm.
and using that to better minister to them.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you another example. A lot of soul-winning techniques, and this is like sacrilegious to say this in some circles, but a lot of soul-winning techniques are devised by extroverts to reach extroverts. Now,
mm-hmm.
most people think that when you're talking about extroverts, and then the opposite end of the spectrum, introverts, and a lot of people are somewhere in between. Some people even say there's a different, a third group called the, I think they call it the adverts or something like that. And they're kind of people who are neither extroverted or introverted. But as a general rule of thumb, being extroverted means being around people energize you and charge you up and get you going, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And being introverted doesn't necessarily mean you're shy. I've known some introverted people that are not at all shy. But introversion and shyness gets mistaken. In fact, at a Bible study one time, somebody said, I was an introvert once, but I got over it. He was talking about being shy, not being introverted. Introverts mm-hmm. are those who get charged up and energized by being alone. And there's some people that way. That's the way I am. I mean, after Sunday and everything, mm-hmm. I like nothing more on Monday to just not even have to see or hardly talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm. I know what
you know, as few as possible, because I'm drained by the time I get done with everything on Sunday and the radio program and all that. I need to charge myself up again, and being around people drains me. And so I need mm-hmm. to be charged back up. Now, getting back to my thing about soul winning and a lot of it being devised by extroverts to reach extroverts, here's what happens. An extrovert who just, you know, I've known some people. I remember one guy, he's with the Lord now. He was an extrovert. He was an extrovert's extrovert. His wife said, you know, he could get a telephone pole talking to him in 5 minutes or less. and things like that. I mean, he never met a stranger. I was visiting somebody in the hospital one time in Akron, and he was up there in years. He was in his 80s, and it was around Christmas time. And two nurses were exchanging a few Christmas cookies as they were walking down through the hall, and he walked right up between them, put an arm around each of them, leaned in between them, and said, "Where's mine?" And they gave him cookies. And I said after, I was laughing, I said afterwards, I said, you know, if I'd have done that, they'd have slapped me. And he just laughed. But he got some cookies. But, you know, he didn't know a stranger. But see, if you come up to somebody who's introverted and an extrovert comes up to them and plops themselves down in front of them and says, hi, do you know if you're going to heaven when you die or are you going to hell? I want to tell you how you can know you get to you're going to heaven when you die. And the extrovert's thinking, well, this is a great way to open the subject. And the introvert instantly has walls going up, going, who is this guy? Why is he sitting in front of me talking to me and then talking about something personal? What's his goal? And they're instantly, the walls are going up, and they push back, and they start to distance themselves, and they feel uncomfortable. And finally, the extrovert gets frustrated and walks off going, well, I guess the Spirit of God wasn't working on that one. Well, no, he just made them uncomfortable because he approached them in a way that made them uncomfortable. If they'd approached him in a different way and maybe sat down and, you know, acknowledged, said hello, and maybe eventually got to talking or something. But there's better ways to do it for an introvert. I know we've been talking about this for a while, but this is what I'm getting at. Introvert and extrovert, different to personality types. And as a consequence, when you understand that, and a lot of secular psychiatrists have identified various types of personalities and things, and when you understand them, it doesn't mean you're using hocus pocus. It doesn't mean that you're denying the Bible. It just means that just like we recognize some trees are evergreen and some trees are deciduous, we recognize some trees have broad leaves, some trees have needle-like leaves, and all these sorts of things. You're recognizing that some people are introverts, some people are extroverts, some people are pessimistic, some people are optimistic, and it's just recognizing people, and it provides valuable tools, I believe, for Christians to be able to reach unsaved people with the gospel and to better minister to people who are saved. So that's kind of my thought. I would not throw all of this out. Because like I said, an unsaved person could describe some characteristics of trees just as well as a saved person could. And an unsaved person can describe some personality characteristics just as well as a saved person can. But the problem is when we start looking to the opinions of men where they begin to deny scriptural truths, where you have these secular counselors and all who don't think that anybody's a bad person, that don't think that there's anything such as a sin nature, who don't think that there's anything remotely involving eternal judgment, you know, eternal punishment in the lake of fire or eternal reward with the Lord, you know, that type of stuff. And so you can only go so far with those types of opinions before you run afoul of the Word of God. And that's where you begin to get into profane and vain babblings and the opposition of science, so-called, or falsely so-called.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Some of these secular counselors are, like, totally anti-biblical, using biblical ideas. And they are evil, and they are destructive. And I do think that psychiatric drugs are used way too often.
Oh, yeah, and that's an area we didn't even get into.
Neurosis, people that have neurosis, you know, the psychosis and neurosis, and people that just have anxiety, I think a lot of times they do not need drugs, but these psychiatrists, I think they overuse the psychiatric drugs to a great extent. Now, people that have psychosis, you know, like schizophrenia or manic depressive, they do need drugs.
Right, and let me jump in here, Nancy, because we're coming up on the break pretty quick.
Oh, okay.
And I just wanted, because we didn't even get into that whole area there. And oftentimes, because, you know, the soul, which is where the mind and the emotion and the intellect is directly connected to the body and to the spirit. Illnesses in the body can affect your personality, your emotion and all of that. When you have the flu or something, you just don't feel up to doing a lot of stuff because your body is sick and it spills over into your mental state oftentimes. But there are some times where there are chemical imbalances that within, you know, reason and certain times can be corrected through some medication in the right way. But when we become dependent on it and forget that perfect peace comes from God, ultimately there's the problem. Hey, Nancy, we're out of time. Amen. Stay tuned. Okay, we've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6555. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can listen to some past programs there, find out more about us, also link to some of our social media sites and our homepage for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which is where I pastor, and certainly invite you to come out and visit us there. And also going to mention, too, that we're not only brought to you tonight by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. That's 4889 Turney Road. And you can call them for, call them for pizza. That's what you're going to call them for. They've got some other things as well. But you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And mention that you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right, well, we're going to get back into our program here this evening, and remember, if you have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call here tonight. That toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in Light of God's Word. You can give us a call here tonight. We'd love to hear from you. And we're going to go to the phones in just a moment. I did want to mention that on Friday, if you were not paying attention to the U.S. House of Representatives, they basically passed a bill which was deceptively named the Women's Health Protection Act. It passed the U.S. House at 218 to 211. Every Democrat except for Henry Kuehler, I believe it is, of Texas, voted for it. He's Representative Kuehler of Texas is the only Democrat to vote against it. And so basically, if you're listening to me and you're not in Texas and you've got a Democrat representative to the U.S. House, that person, he or she, voted for this Women's Health Protection Act. Every Republican, though, voted against it. Not one Republican, thankfully, voted in favor of it. You say, well, what could be wrong with the Women's Health Protection Act? Well, basically, the legislation was put together by the pro-abortion lobby, and it is an act that if it gets passed by the Senate, and there's some doubt, thankfully, that it'll pass the Senate, do pray for that, and contact your senator, your senator, U.S. senator, and we, of course, have Senator Portman, who's going out. He's retiring. Hopefully he'll vote against this. And then, of course, we've got Sherrod Brown, who unfortunately will follow suit with Nancy Pelosi and the other anti-life people in the House as a Democrat. But this bill essentially will eliminate abortion health and safety regulations and eliminating laws aimed to provide women with information about abortion. We're going to talk about health and safety regulations. Some of those are things that are common sense things that basically, since they're in many cases providing invasive medical procedures, that they would be required to provide the same level of care and have the same level of procedures and things in place if something goes wrong that you would in another medical facility that provides that conducts invasive procedures and outpatient surgeries. But it also, more insidiously, would essentially follow what pro-life leaders have called it, the Abortion Without Limits Up to Birth Act, because it would essentially erase nearly all the restrictions on abortion and prevent states from enacting even modest protections for unborn babies, meaning that it would authorize and make open season on all babies all the way up to and including the time of birth. Limits on late-term abortions, bans on same-sex selection abortions, bans on a variety of situations, it would all be gone. And this would be at the taxpayers' expense as well. And a number of other things that it would affect, laws that protect women and young women would be eliminated, including parental consent for minors and informed consent laws, and a majority of or a number of other extreme pro-death things that are in this Abortion Without Limits Up to Birth Act that the Democrats, of course, call the Women's Health Protection Act. Anything but. If you're an unborn child that's a woman, it's open season on you. There's no protection against the health of an unborn woman in this act. So pray that this gets defeated in the Senate. There was another thing that came alongside of this, an amendment to stop infanticide and to mandate care for babies born alive after abortions. You would think, well, that's a common sense sort of thing, that baby's born alive, it's no longer an unborn child. How can you allow it to die? It's now, even by most of, I say most because not all, but most of the abortion, pro-abortion people would consider that a living human being now. And yet the Democrats blocked an amendment to the Women's Health Protection Act, and a 218, I'm sorry, going back to the vote on the act there, but they blocked an amendment. It was 219. So it looks like the Democrat in Texas possibly voted against the amendment, but they voted to block this amendment that would ensure that any baby born alive after an attempted abortion would receive proper medical care. And so the House Republicans all voted for the amendment, and apparently all the Democrats voted against the amendment. So be in prayer about this. This is part of the battle. Really, in many cases, abortion is not done for the, well, the very, it's certainly not done for the health of the mother, except maybe in the very tiniest of percentage of cases. It's certainly not done for the health of the unborn child. Pretty much, it's almost invariably done for the convenience or whatever. It's nothing less than modern day worship of Moloch. You think when they sacrificed babies to Moloch to improve the lot of their lives? Well, blood on their hands, the Bible talks about in Proverbs chapter 6, how God hates those that shed innocent blood. And what could be more innocent than the blood of an unborn child? Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Terry, who's been waiting patiently for us here tonight as well. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Pastor Ross.
Hi, good evening, and thank you for calling in on our Friday program this past Friday, giving us an update on what happened with the Canadian elections. Of course, the Canadian federal elections were this past Monday, and there was hope and prayer that perhaps Trudeau would not win re-election, but unfortunately he did, didn't he?
Yeah, it didn't work out as planned, but the Lord's, all we can do is pray for them, pray for our leaders.
Well, and pray for their salvation, if nothing else, that's for sure.
That's for sure, yeah, because there are a lot of leaders are Catholic, and that causes a lot of problems, too.
Right? Yeah, and I always like to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Starting verse 1, where Paul writes, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." He doesn't say pray for Christian leaders, we pray that we could get Christian leaders, but he's not saying here pray for leaders only if they're Christian. I think all the more reason when somebody's not a born-again leader, there's all the more reason to pray for them.
And it might be all a part of God's plan, like, you know, what's going on in the United States, what's going on in Canada, what's going on in Germany, elections going on in Germany and Israel, you know, just, it might be the time, you know, the return of the Lord.
Well, and I agree, because we know that we have, you know, things that the Bible says are going to happen in the future, which, of course, involve the setting up of a one-world government and the rise of the Antichrist and all of that. And when we look at what's happening, and we discussed this I think it was earlier this year, discussed this, and I also reference an article that I have on our website, livewithpastoral.com, called Why? And we get into this wondering and looking at why, for instance, God allowed Joe Biden to take a seat there in the Oval Office and Donald Trump was ushered out. And I think a lot of it is setting the stage for the rise of the Antichrist and the one-world government.
That's what it appears to me. And one thing that came to me is like a lot of these religions, false religions, it'd be like a wake-up call. They'll come to, hopefully they will come to the realization that they've been duped.
Yeah.
I'd like to correct myself. I said the return of the Lord. That's not the return of the Lord. It's the rapture of the church.
Right. Catching away the believers and then the rise of the Antichrist in the 7-year tribulation period, followed by the return of the Lord. Yes.
Right. Yeah, I had to correct myself. I say that a lot, and I shouldn't say that.
But
rapture first. But it'd be like a wake-up call, and hopefully, I believe that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to come to know the truth. They're going to say, hey, we've been duped. The Muslims, the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and all these other religions. That'll be a wake-up call for sure.
Well, and also a wake-up call for Christians when we see what's happening in the world around us, hopefully to motivate us to pray more. Our church prays for Joe Biden, for instance, every Sunday. We pray for him on our Wednesday night prayer time. And you say, well, why are you praying for him? What do you pray for him? I'll tell you what I pray for. I pray that he gets saved.
Right.
I mean,
same with our leaders.
And exactly. In Canada, if I lived in Canada, because the Bible says to pray for those that are in authority, I'd be praying for the Prime Minister to get saved. And what a difference that would make, wouldn't it?
It's like that book, Praying Effectively for the Lost, too.
Yes.
You know, that's what we need to do as believers, is to pray for the lost and not be, would you say, the Nancy introverts or extroverts?
Talking about introverts and extroverts, we touched on a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, like get out there and spread the gospel and warn people that the return of the Lord is imminent.
Mm-hmm.
Or the rapture is imminent.
All right. And it's not the time for Christians to sit back. It's not the time for Christians to cower and say, well, all is lost, and we're just going to, batten down the hatches and hold up in our churches and our homes and just pray for the soon return of the Lord, because that's all we can do. No, that's not all we can do. We can be out there. We can be out there making a difference, like you said, being a witness, being a testimony, being, as Jesus said, we're to be salt and light in the world around us. And I look at what Jesus said when we go back to Matthew, in Matthew chapter 28, last chapter of the book of Matthew. And I always like this passage here, and this is something that we ought to remember more than ever today. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 8, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And when you look at that, Jesus in verse 18 said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then at the end of verse 20, he said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, we might be, 5 minutes before the end of the world, and that still applies, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He's with us. He's with us. All the way. All the way, he's with us.
It also says in Paul, it says, we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation.
Exactly. It's dynamic. It's powerful. And he also said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. So we've got Jesus Christ, who has all power with us, and of course he's with us through the Spirit of God, and then we have the Word of God, which is powerful, and it's more powerful than a two-edged sword, the Bible says, sharper than a two-edged sword. I was just reading a verse. I'm just trying to think where it was at. I believe it was in Jeremiah this evening at church, where he talks about his word being a hammer breaking the rocks. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Jeremiah chapter 23, I believe it is. And really, when you think about it, God's word does break up a lot of rocky ground and opposition, doesn't it?
That's right. That's why. And if we don't know the word of God, what good is it going to do us?
Well, and then that's why Paul said, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." It takes some study. It takes some effort. Here in Jeremiah chapter 23. And if you look down in verse number 21, let's see here. And I'm sorry, verse 29. I can't see what I'm looking at. Here we are. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? And if anybody's ever used a hammer to break up rock, you know, you take a sledgehammer to a rock and you're trying to break it up, sometimes it takes a few blows. And also, it sometimes depends on knowing how and where to hit the rock. And a lot of that comes from using the hammer a few times, doesn't it?
Yeah, it takes a lot of work.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, didn't you used to work on roofs?
Yeah, I was a roofer,
yeah. Yeah, well, you know, when you're hammering a nail in, and as a roofer, you probably hammered a nail or two in your time, huh?
Until they got air guns.
But when you're hammering a nail with a hammer, it's not just sticking the nail there and taking a whack at it, is it? There's some skill involved.
Yes.
And if you hit it right, that nail dries clean and smooth. If you hit it wrong, you hit the wrong nail, and your thumbnail turns purple. So,
and it's like the end thing, you know, the more you do it, the faster you get.
Exactly, and that's my point, because when Paul said, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, well, what does a workman do with the tools that he uses? He uses them, right?
Right.
And over time, gains skill with them.
And I like to encourage people. There's something, the other thing that's been concerns me too. Like, okay, there's people out there, you know, they help people, and that's good. I'm not saying that's wrong. You know, they treat people, they clothe people, you know. But that's not enough. You know, that's not what they need. Is they need the Word of God. They need salvation.
Right, right. The clothing and the feeding and the medical needs and things like that. All of that should be ways to open the door to sharing the gospel with them. I've known of missionaries and things that have been in various parts of the world where they've set up medical clinics. Now, there's a lot of pain and suffering, physical pain and suffering, and they tend to that, and they get people who come far and wide because they may be one of the only places around where they can get some medical care. But while they're there, they use it as an opportunity to share the gospel with them. And many of the rescue missions, as we call them, have started with that thing in mind. Chicago, of course, the haven of rest. They proclaim the gospel to the people that they help. I remember shortly after coming back from the Samoan Islands as missionaries, and when I became the pastor of the church, we had a restaurant in the area near the church at that time, and a lady in our church, she was a waitress there, and she invited us after church to go up to the restaurant, and my parents were still alive then, and we were sitting there, and somebody that they knew that went to another church in town that does not believe in preaching the gospel. I've actually heard the pastor there in one of his things say that the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, is a pie in the sky theology or whatever of no earthly value. He actually said that. So we were there, and this woman that was there that knew my parents started talking to them. And my parents introduced me, and they said, I'm the new pastor at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church and all that. And she was asking what we did, and I was telling some different things. And at the time, I was going with a friend of mine who pastored Bedford Baptist Church, and we were going up to the Haven of Rest mission in Cleveland. And she, after I said that, said, oh, well, you need to be careful with things like that. Our pastor, it was a different pastor at that time than who's there now. Our pastor said that we shouldn't be involved in things like that because in order for those people to eat, they have to listen to a sermon. Like it's a bad thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
And I said, well, you know, with all due respect, you know, sitting there through a half-hour sermon and singing a couple of songs to get a warm meal and a safe place to sleep and a nice shower, it seems like a small price to pay for that. And she didn't want to talk to me after that. I don't know why.
I'd say eat first. Eat first and then, preach first and then eat.
And that's what we did. We preached first, and that keeps people from wandering off, for one thing. And they have to be in there in the hall where they get preached to before to get lined up to go into the meal. So, you know, but it gives an opportunity to share the gospel while meeting people's physical needs.
I was going to say just before you're at the end of the show, you mentioned the address in Woodstock. That's one thing about the church I've been going to. What I like about it is that they had to get together after the service.
Uh-huh.
And they have a meal too. They eat and then we fellowship with one another.
That's a great thing, I think, for churches to do.
Yeah, so I was just going to give the address.
Sure, go ahead and do that, because you know a lot of our listeners that are on the north side of Lake Erie might be looking for some place.
Right, it's 34 Graham Street, Woodstock, Ontario, Canada. And it's called Cornerstone Baptist Church. It's an independent Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And also number, it's a Cornerstone Independent Baptist Church. And the office is 519-537-0125, and the website is cornerstonebaptist.ca.
.ca.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's great. I know we're running out of time here, and I hope that people are in that area. What city is it near? I'm not as familiar with the...
It's close to Woodstock. Woodstock's close to London.
London in that area? Okay. That gives me a picture.
Yeah.
So, all right.
That area, so...
All right. Well, that sounds great, and I hope that they'll be able to get a few people that come in, and nothing to be better than to have them say, "What is this show that's directing people to our church?" So, you know, I hear the music coming. You know, I don't look at this radio program as a means of building our church. If I did, I'd been sorely disappointed a long time ago. I look at the radio program as a chance to encourage people and to point people to Christ and where they're at, to be able to find a good church that they can get to, where they can not only hear the gospel and be saved, but grow as a believer in Christ. And so we're more than happy to help people find churches like that. So thank you, Terry, for the call. Thank you for the information on Cornerstone Independent Baptist Church there in Woodstock, there in Canada. And again, want to thank everybody for listening to us tonight. Oh, please, if you have the opportunity to do so, contact your senator about this horrible pro-death bill that the House just passed. And thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.